Is our God great?
Amen.
Amen. I've got to say one more thing about Jackie, and I have his blessing to share this. But got a call a week ago Saturday, that Jackie had probably had a stroke and was at the Hendrick ER, and so I scooted over there, and Jackie hadn't been there long, and there was, as you can imagine, you know, there's chaos. They had to talk about flying to Dallas, and Pat was trying to get settled in and get details taken care of and get clothes, and kids were showing up and phone calls were being made and all that was going on. And I was in Jackie's room, and the nurse asked him to, if he could move his left hand, his left arm, and there was no movement. And so she lifted up his arm, said, "Now try to hold that arm up," and it went down with a thud. And then she said, "Can you lift your left leg?" Nothing. And then she lifted his left leg and said, "Now hold that up," and it went down with a thud. And then he comes in walking and giving praise to God this morning. And we're just, you know, and I am thankful for medicine, and I am thankful for our medical people. But, you know, God gives us the ability to do even that. And so, and I know the prayers were going out on Jackie's behalf and on so many others' behalf. And as Billy said, you know, the thing that we have to sort out is sometimes God shows off in those instances. And sometimes, you know, these bodies are temporary. And we're all going to end up in the same place, you know. These bodies are not to last forever. But sometimes God just shows off. And we rejoice with you, Pat and Jackie. What a good couple. So, you know what I was thinking as all that was going on, and Jackie was giving testimony to God's goodness, and just I could feel the Spirit, and I was really just kind of overwhelmed with the Spirit, and could hardly even sing that last set. But what I was thinking was I was sad for those who aren't here this morning. Not just members of our church, but I was just, it's like, man, I'm so glad I was here this morning. So glad I was here. Because when God shows up, good things happen. It's exciting. And to that end, we are very glad that you're here this morning and that you are part of what God is doing this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're very especially glad that you are here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and we always invite you as a visitor. You don't have to be your first time. It could be that you've been here a few times, but have never let us know who you are, and you don't have to do this, but we'd love for you to fill that out. And at the end of the service, you can bring those. I'll be down at this end of the foyer as you leave today, and would love to meet you. I have a free gift for you. Or you can just leave that blue card there in the seat as you leave. And also just keep those registration slips going to the end of your row so we know we can love better. So we can love better. As Billy was mentioning, we the next couple of weeks, we got a lot going on, not just for Wiley Methodist, but a lot going on in our city. And I'll be talking some more about that next week. But just to highlight it, next Sunday night at Shotwell Stadium, I believe that starts at 7, you've got an insert in your bulletin, is what we're calling Fill the Well. And our goal is to fill half of the stadium of Shotwell Stadium. And there's going to be a great speaker, great worship, a lot of prayer time. We just want to ask the Lord's blessing on our city. Has anybody noticed the escalation in violent crime in our city in the last couple of weeks? You think that's a coincidence? I mean, because I'm very aware, I've been in the planning stages with other leaders in our community for 6 months for this next week. A lot of the gospel is going to be proclaimed to a lot of people in the next week. We're having a very concerted effort to take the gospel out. We should be doing that every day, all the time, but we're going to have a really concerted effort to be doing that. And I am friends with our police chief, and one of a few pastors that pray with him when these things kind of happen, and got to do that with him yesterday. And we'd had you know the rapes. We'd had the suspicious death out just right here in our neighborhood, just down the road, just a little ways. We had a man killed over trash yesterday. And that's when he called and he said, hey, would you pastors, would y'all come pray over me and over our city, man? This is just crazy. And so we go up there to pray with him, and he's telling us the story, you know, these guys, somebody dumped a mattress or something in the alley, and a man's dead over it, and two other men may spend a lot of time in jail over it. And he said, we had a suicide last night. I mean, it's just on and on, and it's like the enemy doesn't want the good news of the gospel of Jesus to go out. And there, if we don't understand that there are spiritual forces coming against us, but God's word says, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. In other words, we're on the right team. We're on the right team. So just there's a lot of stuff going on. I invite you and encourage you to be a part of these things. Revive Texas and Fill the Well. Again, I'll be talking more about Revive Texas next week. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. You actually get two sermons this morning. I just gave a little mini one. That's okay. You don't have to pay extra. It's all right. Philippians chapter 2. This is Philippians is attributed to the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. And I want you to, he's talking to us, very specifically, church. He's talking to us. Listen to this, how he starts this off. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, so is that you? Yeah. Have you been encouraged by being united to Christ? He's talking to you and me. If any comfort from his love, have you ever been comforted by the love of Christ? He's talking to you. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So he's made this invitation, and now he gives us the directions. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. What kind of world will we live in if we just did that right there? Consider others better than ourselves. Each of you, again, he's talking to us, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude. Anybody got an attitude? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Therefore, what do we do when we see therefore? We go back and see what it was there for, don't we? Well, he just told us what it's there for. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Say it with me. Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to conclude the sermon series today, What Really Matters. What Really Matters. And today's message is humility matters. Humility matters. Now, as I was reflecting on this topic, humility, I was reminded of a story that I told about 10 years ago. Billy, you're going to like this. A story I told about 10 years ago, and it's actually, it's sophisticated humor. And now, 10 years ago or so, we didn't have nearly as sophisticated of a congregation as we have this morning. And so there was not a lot of laughter at the end of this story 10 years ago. But I'm convinced that you guys are a much more sophisticated group, so may need a, you know, some sort of prompting when it's time to laugh. But here's the story. I was, you know, the great spiritual giant that I am, I was wanting to be more humble. And so one day I came into the sanctuary. There was nobody here. It was just during the week. I came into the sanctuary and I threw myself on the altar and I began to cry out, "I'm nothing, Lord, I'm nothing." And I just kept crying that out at the top of my lungs. And Billy is passing by in the foyer. And Billy passes by, and you know, Billy, I'm his hero. I'm his hero. And he, not wanting to be outdone by the pastor, Billy comes in beside me and sees what I'm doing and hears what I'm saying. And he throws himself down on the altar beside me and he says, begins to say the same thing, "I'm nothing, I'm nothing." And then Brent, good old Brent, the youth pastor. You know, youth pastors get no respect. Did you know that? They get no respect. They don't even know how to dress right. They got to wear shorts and T-shirts and stuff. And so Brent comes by, and of course, Billy and I are his major heroes too. So he comes in, and he's thinking, well, they're humble. I want to be humble. So he comes in, and he throws himself down beside Billy and I, and he begins to cry out, "I'm nothing, I'm nothing." And Billy nudges me and says, points to Brent and says, "Look who thinks he's nothing." Laughter. Well, I have laughter. See, I told you guys were more sophisticated than my last group. Cheryl, did you take note of that? I told Cheryl I was going to tell that again, and I'm surprised she came this morning. Look who thinks he's nothing. I mean, you know, humility, first of all, how many people have been led to Christ? I said this in my email this week. How many people have been led to Christ by prideful, arrogant Christians? You know any? I mean, you ever heard of that? Do you know any prideful, arrogant? You don't have to name names or anything, but have we seen those sort of folks? Prideful. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We got a phone call a few months ago. I won't give you all the details, but they called our church and nobody was here, so they left a voicemail, and they were from another Christian tradition, and they spent several minutes just telling us basically we're going to hell. Now this was a Christian person, professing Christian person that's telling us, anybody that comes to church here and is associated with us is going to hell. And it was bad. It was bad. And I was thinking about that later, and it really didn't make me mad. It made me sad. It really made me sad. And I was thinking to myself, if that person really believes that I'm going to hell because I don't believe the way they believe, then don't condemn me to hell. Try to woo me to the right way. I mean, try to love me into the kingdom. Not tell me I'm going to hell and almost wagging their finger at me, even though it was on the phone. Man, you know, it's God's word tells us, I believe it's in Romans, it says it's the kindness of the Lord that draws us to repentance. It's not the scolding. It's not the arrogance or pride that does that. Humility matters, church. How are we being conveyed? How are we conveying ourselves to the world? What are people seeing when we talk about our faith, when we talk about Christ, when we talk about being a Christian? Humility matters. Let's talk about why it matters. Humility matters, first of all, because the humble please God. Pure and simple. It pleases God. 1 Peter, all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. Did anybody hear that? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The humble please God. God, now we're not talking about pride that, not pride in your family. God doesn't oppose us being, you know, like loving our family. It's like, man, I'm really proud of my grandsons. You know, he doesn't oppose that. The arrogance of that, perhaps, maybe, if it moves into that. But he doesn't, it's not pride in a job well done. He wants us to be proud. It's like, put in a good day's work and be proud of the work you've done. It's not about that, but it's an arrogant, self-centered pride where I'm better than you. That kind of pride is what God opposes. You know, we see this displayed so clearly on the two thieves on the cross. We have, you know, Jesus is up there. He's guilty of nothing, and these two thieves they deserve what's happening to them. And one of them has this arrogant pride, and he begins to scold Jesus, and he begins to mock Jesus, just like the soldiers did. And the other thief shows humility, understands that I deserve to be up here, and this man doesn't. And he begins to speak to Christ in a loving way, a humble way. It's like, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. Just, do you hear the humility in that thief? And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. The humble please God. So as I'm walking through these points, I want you to be asking yourself, how am I doing with that? How am I doing with that? Secondly, humility matters because Jesus modeled humility. He modeled humility, and we see it in the passage that we read today. It's one of my, Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was God. He had every right to strut around and go, I'm God, fall at my feet and worship me. He had every right to do that because he was God made flesh. But it says in verse 7, he made himself nothing. I mean, Jesus, do you see he's patterning for us? He's setting a tone for us. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So while he was deserving to be high and exalted, he humbled himself. And we see it in the washing of the disciples' feet. He knows that he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's sitting around the table. These men, one will betray him, the other will deny him, and the others will scatter like frightened little children. And that's who he takes off his outer garment. He wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to work his way around the table, washing their feet, becoming their servant. Jesus, one of my favorite passages, Matthew 11. Come to me, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. He's gentle and humble. Jesus, if we pattern ourselves by Jesus, he was not arrogant. He was not prideful. He was gentle and humble. He was a servant. Third, humility matters because we are called to follow Christ's example. So Jesus embodies humility. He models humility, and we are called to follow that example. In this passage today, your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He was humble and gentle and a servant. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And again, what kind of world would we live in if that was being modeled, if we were living it out? And I'm not talking about people that don't know Christ. I'm talking about the church. What if the church modeled that out? In humility, consider others better than yourself, being like-minded with Christ, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. We are called, church, to model the humility of Christ. I hear it all the time as a pastor. I hear people, I'll talk to people, and they'll say, well, I don't go to church. Why don't you go to church? There's a bunch of hypocrites. You hear that a lot. There's just a bunch of hypocrites. Or I was hurt by the church. Or I was hurt by a pastor. I was hurt by a Christian. And I understand all of that. My response to that is, don't put your faith in pastors. Don't put your faith in churches. Don't put your faith in Christians. Put your faith in Jesus, because he won't hurt you. He won't let you down. Humility matters, and we are called to follow the example of Christ. Fourth thing, humility matters because the humble are exalted. Now, we don't be humble so that we can one day be exalted, but the results, Scripture is very clear, the results of being walking in humility is exaltation. And listen to this. This is these are the words of Jesus. He tells this parable. And you can follow along there in your handout as well. The humble are exalted. In Luke 18, to some who are confident, look who thinks he's nothing. Some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. So they existed in Jesus' time too. And what's interesting is it very likely could have been the church, God's people, that he's addressing here. Jesus told this parable to those people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Look who thinks he's nothing. No, that's not in there. I'm sorry. I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Can you just imagine him pointing? I fast, listen to this, his holiness is coming out in his service. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Can you hear him puffing up his chest? But the tax collector, Jesus said, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, for this reason, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Justification means to be made right before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be, say it with me, exalted. That's the dynamics of the Christian life, to humble ourselves and be exalted. So Philippians 2 that we read today ends this way. Therefore, because how Jesus handled his life, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How many people, church, have been led to Christ by a prideful, arrogant Christian? So, how we doing? How we doing? What do people see when they look at us? And it's not about trying to put an act. We don't walk in perfection, but we should ooze humility. We should ooze Jesus, and Jesus is humility. When people look at us and see us and the way we treat other people, I'm not boasting about this, but it's just kind of interesting. When our girls were little, I just say hi to people. Anybody say hi to people? You know, you just try to open the door for people, and you just I just kind of taught you just courteous to people. And we'd walk down the mall, and I'd say, hi, how are you? And my little girls, who's that, Daddy? Who's that, Daddy? Who's that, Daddy? I mean, all the time. They'd wear us out. Who was that, Daddy? I don't know. Let's just treat people kindly, nicely. humility. I mean, people should see us and go, wow, what does that person have? They have something. I want some of that. And when the storm comes, you know, I didn't mention last week, and I don't have their permission, but by golly, I'm just going to do it. Gerald and Peggy Young back here. You guys, who's Jesus? Gerald told me last week that he's going to enter into hospice and that he's had a 7-year battle with cancer. And I'll tell you, I've never heard these two complain. I visited with them many times. And they're in church this morning. And I think, again, I really don't want to, if you hadn't been to church in a while or don't come that often, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just saying, you know, they're battling to be here. Be in the presence with God's people and the presence of the Lord. They're battling to be here. And I'm just like, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I love you guys. And I'm glad you're here this morning. And I just want to tell you, the humble will be exalted. I believe that. God is good, and what are we conveying to the world with our walk with Christ? I mean, it made me sad to hear that phone call, and it's like, you guys are the devil, you're going to hell, and all these things. It's like, I'm like, really? You're a Christian? And you're going through the phone book. We didn't know any this person. You're going through the phone book, just calling people that don't have the right name on their sign. And it's like, I know that's an extreme case, but I'm just saying, are we giving off that vibe to the world? Are we humble? And do people look at us and go, man, I want me some of that? Because I think they have something. And maybe it's Jesus. Jesus changes things, church. He just does. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I wanted to get the details, but I was so fast, I'm going to have to look it up. But there was something here that happened recently. There was some kind of a KKK rally somewhere, and this big Grand Duke or whatever he was of the KKK was at this rally, and this black pastor pulled him aside and shared the gospel with this guy who was cursing at him and calling him all sorts of names and wishing all sorts of horrible things to him. He pulled him aside, and he just embraced him with the love of Christ, and he led this dude to Christ. I heard it on the radio yesterday. He led him to Christ. This guy has renounced all of that stuff, and now he's a born-again Christian. Jesus changes things. He just does when we let him. He was not changed by religion. He was not changed by certain theological thinking. He was changed by Jesus. And so, church, when we partake of this meal, I mean, the standard is humility and love and grace and mercy. I mean, that's the Savior that he initiated this meal. And we come and he proved it. He didn't just talk a good game, but he allowed his body to be broken so that you and I could be whole. We getting it? He allowed himself to be broken so that we can be whole. And he allowed his blood to be spilt to redeem his people because he loves us. You know that we do this in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus said. Remember me when you do this. Remember that I'm suffering and dying to make you whole. I'm shedding my blood to make you whole, to make a difference. And he did it as we read today from God's word, he did it in great humility. So we don't come to this table as a perfect people, but we come as a redeemed people, redeemed by the body and blood of Christ. And so it begins with repentance. I mean, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God, but we're made whole by the body and blood of Christ through faith in him. So if you'll bow your head and just in your own heart confess your sin before a holy God. Father, I pray blessing on this bread and on this cup that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. By that sacrificial gift, we are forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen.